Well, 2.5 weeks to go for Christmas. Unbelievable. Where is this year going, huh? As a matter of fact, I'm going to do what we have to do and then go back to St. Louis for Christmas, stay there for a little bit, and then come right back to Los Angeles for about the 2.5, 3 months with a trip or two to Hawaii as well and start using that great studio of ours over there. We are going to have a live program for you on Christmas Eve. And a live program for you on Christmas Day. The entire Coast to Coast staff will be here for you. And we're going to do the same thing on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. So we're going to bring in the new year with you. And, of course, we'll have our prediction show on New Year's Day as well. Now, I want to invite you to a party. That's right. Sunday, January 6th, we, at the network level, we're going to proclaim that as my 10-year anniversary party. So even though I started, I think, around January 1st of 2003, we're going to do it on January 6th. That's Sunday night. You're invited to the party. A number of Coast to Coast guests will be coming. People will be roasting me, I'm sure. But I want you to be part of that show. I can't believe 10 years has gone by so quickly. And maybe 10 more, huh? Maybe 10 more after that. I'm going to open up a special hotline for you tonight. As we get close to Christmas, it's really important for us to remember some of the great things that have happened in our lives that have really had an influence on us. I'm opening up what I will call the intervention hotline. Not necessarily just angelic, but the intervention hotline where something miraculous happened for you. Here's that phone number. You can call on any number, but this one is dedicated just to that. The intervention line, 818-817-0021. That's 818-817-0021. Open lines next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. So I went to an ear, nose, and throat specialist yesterday because I wanted a follow-up checkup after my fiasco with that little pizza roll that burned off the skin on the roof of my mouth. And he said, I'm about 75 to 80% healed now. But he comes in with his chart. Nice doctor, by the way. Comes in and he goes, are you the radio George Norrie? And I went, yeah. And he went, well, let me look at this. You burned your throat? And I said, yeah, I sure did. And he went, that's why you weren't on a couple days last week. And I said, you got that right. So here we go. But what an unbelievable situation. I want to caution you, by the way, as parents and as individuals, be careful when you microwave something and eat it or give it to your kids. Because let me tell you something. I did. I touched it. It was cool to touch. I popped this little healthy, right, frozen pizza thing in my mouth. I bit into it, and this thing was like molten lava. Can you imagine? And then my voice passageway started swelling up. I thought I wasn't going to be able to breathe. Can you imagine doing that to a little kid or a little baby? You know, most parents always check the food. I mean, we used to. But I mean, accidents happen and things happen. I'm just cautioning you, if I can save one person from the mishap that I had to go through, because it, let me tell you something, it hurts. I'm a tough guy. I go through a lot, sometimes more pain than you can imagine years ago. But this was aggravating hurt because you need your mouth. You have to swallow. You talk. It was unbelievable. Be careful if you do that. If I can just save one person or one little kid from going through that mess, this whole exercise was worth it. Anyway, we've got open lines for you tonight. Tom's got the text phone, so fire away on that. Let's go to May in Grand Rapids, Michigan to get things going east of the Rockies. Hey, May.
Hello, George. How are you?
I am doing fine. Thanks.
I'm so glad you're doing better. And I want to thank you so much for your show. You know, you are just a voice that we all need, and I wish you could be on during the day, but this is just fine. People are quieter at night anyway. So,
and I've become a creature of the night.
Well, I sort of am too. And you know, at least now people can get your membership so that they can listen anytime. So that's wonderful. But, you know, I wanted to say also, I hope that Douglas Dietrich is listening, because I really want to bless him too. And I'm so thankful to have heard this show. And I hear your show almost every night. I rarely miss.
Thank you.
But sometimes I fall asleep.
Well, that happens.
Yeah.
I sometimes have to make sure I don't fall asleep.
Listen
to my microphone. This is the sound of me falling asleep. You ready?
Yeah.
Here it goes. That was my head hitting the microphone. Falling asleep.
Well, I've never heard that sound.
No. Thank God. Let's hope you never do.
Well, I doubt we will. But what I wanted to say about Mr. Dietrich is this. Over the last couple of years, I have had a conversation about the things that he was talking about to people who lived during that era of World War II. And, you know, I learned to keep my mouth shut, because they nearly attacked me. These elderly people who are generally just calm, you know, almost killed me when I said these things about FDR. And about 2 months ago was the last time I had a conversation like that. And the lady's grandchildren were even confirming things to her that they had learned. And I thought she was going to kill all of us, or she was going to die trying.
Mm-hmm.
But she started questioning me about where I got this information. And I've done so much research for different reports, you know, from college, that I thought, well, I couldn't put my finger on it, that I must have just done it in college. But then as I listened to Mr. Dietrich tonight,
he's got the facts. He's amazing.
Yes.
He's an encyclopedia. But also, let me tell you this. Our parents came from an era where you never questioned government.
I know.
You believed everything they told them. Everything was apple pie. And, you know, if they said jump, you said how high. What they didn't know was that they were spray testing people in St. Louis with chemicals. And they were doing all other kinds of heinous things. And, you know, my God, people do not misunderstand love of country with corrupt politicians who are out there to do what they do. And in our era, May, there was nothing you could say about those people in office that our parents would have agreed with you. There's just, they were not brought up that way. And they didn't question anything. They just took everything at face value. And if the president at that time said, this is the way it is, then that's the way it was.
Right. You're absolutely right. Well, I came to realize when I was listening to Douglas tonight that a lot of this information, there's no way that I found this during research. From what he said, there's no way. So obviously, this is something that was revealed to me like in dreams or visions, and I was confusing it with research.
Mm-hmm.
And my whole family is highly, highly psychic and has spiritual experiences, so that's not a surprise to me. But what I wanted to ask him if I had gotten through was if he felt that he was, you know, uniquely brought to this earth to expose this, to do what he's doing, to be in the place that he was in, and to live the life that he's lived to expose this. And I'm sure, George, with all your experience, you know that when something spiritual happens or knowledge is given, it like comes in waves to thousands of people, but maybe only one or two are given the opportunity to voice it.
Well, that is true. And Dietrich came to us, by the way, via open lines one day, years ago. He was just a caller. And, you know, he called again over the years. And then finally, Tom and I said, you know what? He's worth putting on as a guest. This guy is a resource of information. And you could obviously tell his passion for this subject. I mean, he gets emotional with it when he gets into it. But he's got his facts and he's got his statistics. And some of the things he says you may not want to hear, you may not like it, but he stands by it. May, thanks for your call. Let's go to our intervention line. Cameron's with us, Reno, Nevada. Hey, Cameron, what's going on?
Hey, George, love your show.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Well, I wanted to point out something miraculous that happened to me. When what? I was in high school, my senior year, I was considered one of the best athletes in Nevada.
And you play, in those days, we played everything, right? We played baseball, football, you name it, basketball. You weren't a specialist at one thing. You were good at everything, weren't you?
Pretty much. I was a three-time state champion in track, too. So
let's add that.
Yeah. Well, my senior year, my first game of the year, I ended up breaking my back.
Oh, my God.
And pretty much lost my scholarship, you know. And back then, you know, this is actually only 6 years ago. I'm only 23.
Oh, geez, you're young.
Yes, I am. I thought, you know, everything was, that was it, you know. And then I eventually joined the military when I was 19. About 2 years later.
What branch were you in, by the way?
The Army.
Okay.
About 2 years after I joined the Army, I rebroke the same part of my back.
Oh, my God. How'd you do that?
A training exercise, actually, in Fort Knox, Kentucky. Yeah, total bad luck. But the thing was, I couldn't walk. But my pride kind of took over, and about 20 weeks in, I was just laying there the whole time. I just pretty much said, I'm not going to live my life this way. I have to walk. About 2 days later, my little toe twitched, and now I'm working at a gold mine.
Good for you.
I just thought that was miraculous. I just want to point out.
You healed yourself.
Pretty much. I believe so.
Now that's, you know, and I'm sure you believed in a lot.
Yeah, I do. And I just want to point out to all your listeners that a lot of things are going to happen to you in your life. Just keep going. Believe you can do it, and you're going to do it.
Cameron, thanks for that. That's a great intervention. Virginia in Dayton, Ohio is with us. Hello, Virginia.
Hello. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Really am. I get to honor my husband and my brother. They were in World War II.
Oh, they were. Okay, good. Today's that moment.
And there's an inside story I thought you might like to hear about the Missouri.
Yeah.
First of all, I give homage to my husband, which passed away in 06, but he was assigned to the USS Brownsville, and I thought there might be some men still living that they might have known him.
Maybe. You never know.
And the story about my brother, he was assigned to the USS Missouri, and the ship hadn't gone out yet. It was in New York Harbor, and it went out for a shakedown to check all the guns and everything on the ship to make sure it was in running order. My brother was assigned to a gun, one of those big guns, and I've seen it on television where several men pass through that, what do they call that? It's not a shell, the bullet. Are you there?
You're talking about the large shells.
Yeah, the large shell.
Yeah, they're shells, sure.
Okay, he was on that kind of a gun, and he was the second one closest to the gun. So when they shot it off, it blew up. It killed the boy, the first boy, and it hurt my brother was injured quite badly.
Oh, man.
And they flew him into New York to the hospital. And, of course, he never got back on his ship, and that was such a famous ship.
It sure was. It got decommissioned in 1992, so it was around for 48 years.
Yeah.
A long time.
I've never, and I'm too old now, I'll never get to see the Missouri, but, of course, they have it. I understand in Hawaii. I would love to be able to see that. But,
yep, it's at Pearl Harbor.
Yes, at Pearl Harbor.
Go up there and say, well, congratulations and our thanks to your family.
Thank you. It was nice talking to
you. Okay, Virginia. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa. We'll be saying that a little bit later on, too, as that comes up. We're putting together, by the way, the Christmas Eve and Christmas Day night show for you. A lot of elements. We've got Lionel Fanthorpe again with his "Twas the Night Before Christmas." And those 2 days, we will play Christmas bumper music. So those of you who want to get your fix of Christmas music, we'll have it on those 2 days. Let's go to Sebastian in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, on the wild card line. Sebastian, welcome to the show.
Hey, Art, is this Art?
No, Art is no longer with us. He left us 10 years ago, Sebastian.
Oh, my God. I didn't know about that.
You've just joined us after 10 years?
Yeah, dude, it's been a while. I've been in this whole mindfuck of a situation.
I guess you have. But we're going to have to let you go. John in Round Hill, Virginia, you're with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, John, welcome to the program.
Oh, hey, George. Yes, I'm about 3 miles southeast of the undisclosed location, you know, where the vice president hides under the table. You know, but I'm calling you because I'm in a quandary. Some people say I did a real stupid thing. Other people say I did a real heroic thing.
Well, let's see. What was it?
Well, I have a white lab, big 92-pound bundle of joy.
Great dogs, by the way.
Oh, I'll tell you, I love her. And that's part of the problem. I gave her some cut-rate flea and tick stuff back around middle of October. And we were caught in the hurricane. We lost our power for 4 days. Now, I built a generator to run the house. You know, originally I built it for my grandfather, but he passed away. You know, so I could have water and stuff for him.
Yeah.
But anyway, I found 2 ticks on her, and they were on her for a couple of days, and I was a little perturbed, and she had a rash.
I hate ticks on dogs.
Oh, and
gotta get them off right away.
Well, she had a rash, and we took her to the vet as soon as we could, and he ran the comb down and caught a whole bunch of fleas. She is infested with fleas, and I said, how can that be? You know, and he said, where'd you get the flea and pick stuff? Well, I don't know if I can say the store name. It's a big time. They're all over the country. I don't know.
Well, you can mention the name if it's important to the story. If it's not,
okay.
Don't worry about it.
It's the big Costco Kirkland brand dog and, tick and flea stuff.
Okay.
Well, it didn't do jack. And so, but I did buy your cedar side, the best yet?
It works for you.
It worked, except I was a little on the slow side in spraying her because she's a big, big girl. And I started the tail and worked my way up, and the fleas all went to her head and jumped off. And guess who they jumped on?
You.
And about 35 years ago, I got bitten twice by fleas on my leg, and I lost about an inch diameter.
Why did God make fleas?
I don't know, but I think he made them to defoliate me because I got 30 bites. The second bite, I kind of knew I better not go on, but I looked in her eyes and, you know, I'm not going to let an animal.
Well, what do you think of that story where they're going to genetically modify? They already have mosquitoes. They're just trying to decide whether to let them loose on the population at Key West. Here's the thing. What if one of them gets loose and starts breeding with the other mosquitoes? They're everywhere. They're making a huge, huge mistake there. Hey, we're going to come back in just a moment. Got my little thank you shout out, and we're going to continue with open lines. Tom's got his text phone ready to go, so we'll have a little text from you. He'll pick somebody there. So stand by. All that is next on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, we've got to talk about those of you who support Coast to Coast AM on our more than 564 radio stations. Thank you so much. Coast Insiders, love all of you. XM Talk Channel 168. And then how about the various chat rooms and groups? Into Infinity, Fantastic Forum 2, Imaginative Worlds, Sorcery IRC, those who follow us on Facebook and Twitter, which you can do. Simply go to coasttocoastam.com, far right-hand corner. Just follow us on Facebook and Twitter. It's that simple. As a matter of fact, tonight I'm looking for 2,000 people to follow us on Facebook and Twitter that haven't signed up. It's just do it. That's all you got to do. SoCal UFO Meetup Group, the Hollywood Ghost Hunters, National Radio Club, the Nighthawk Nation, and our buddy Greg the Cook in St. Louis. Thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. Here we go. Back with open lines. Let's go to Rosita, California. Linda's with us on the intervention line. Linda, what do you got for us?
Hi, George. Thank you for your show.
You're welcome.
You. I've only told a couple of people this. Now I'm telling a million.
Yes, you are.
But I want to tell my story. When I was a child, I was around 9 years old. I was staying with relatives, and they were out in the country, and we had woods, and I would go for walks with dogs. And my mother at the time was in her very early 40s and in good health, but she had to go away to work so that she could come back and maybe have enough money so she could keep myself and my brother. One time when I was going for a walk, I started to hear this voice, and I said, well, who's there? Who's talking to me? And they didn't really say. They just said, I'm a messenger. And so as we talked about all kinds of things that kids talk about and ask questions. And he eventually told me that he hated to tell me in a way but my mom was gonna pass on and not be physically here in this world. She was gonna die.
Hmm.
Now, you know, as a kid, I said it couldn't be. And
it's not.
So,
yeah, it's never gonna happen like that.
Yeah, I was very attached to my mom, and he kept saying, "Well, it'll be okay. It'll be okay." You'll see, it'll be fine. You'll get through it. Now, my mom did suddenly take ill.
Oh, gee.
And went into the hospital. And story short is that she got better and was going to be released. The day she was going to be released, she suddenly died. What was wrong with her was she had a brain tumor, and they removed it, and then she got better, but then something else happened, and she passed on the day she was to be released.
Needless to say, that shocked you.
Yes, I was devastated anyways, but not as much. I've got to tell you, not as much, I don't think, as I would have been had I not been told prior to her death that this was going to occur.
So this vision basically kind of set you up for the possibility that it was going to happen.
Yes. So I even begged my relatives when they were going to fly to see her in the hospital, saying that if I didn't go, then I wouldn't see her again. But my relatives were not very happy in saying that. And it was like, don't say that, or else that'll happen. But it did happen. And I have to tell you, I'm so grateful that I was informed prior to her death as a child, because I was extremely attached to her.
Well, we all go through these horrible things with our parents eventually. And I've always wondered if I wanted to know. And I agree with you. I think to be able to sense it and feel it before it happens kind of lessens the blow, doesn't it?
Yes. And I'm grateful that I was able to have this message given to me prior to, and somebody to sound off to and ask questions about it and why and how come. And as a child, that really helped me a great deal.
That's a great intervention. Would you like to know the day you're going to die, Linda?
I don't think so.
You know what? I'm in your camp. I'm not sure yet if I want to know or not. I don't think I do, but then again, maybe I do. Maybe you can avoid it if something happens.
I
You know, if you knew you were going to die from a car accident on such and such a day, you would be prepared for that, wouldn't you? Maybe you wouldn't go in a car. Of course, you get hit walking on the sidewalk from a car. Who knows? Like, maybe you can't escape fate. That's always possible. Linda, thanks for your call. Let's go next, of course, to Charleston, South Carolina. Lucas is with us on Coast to Coast. Hello, Lucas.
Hey, George. How's it going?
Okay.
Hey, man. I wanted to talk a little bit about what I'm going through right now as far as a job and working and everything.
All right. What's happening with you?
To give you a little bit of background, I'm 24 right now. I've been working for about 6 years, I guess, which isn't very long, I guess, in comparison to some other people out there. But I've recently started to research about Frederick Taylor and Taylorism and scientific management. Are you familiar?
Yes.
And to be honest, just the more I learn about it, the less and less inclined I feel to work. I just feel like I'm being swindled. And as far as learning about where my taxes go, I look at it as that's what I'm trading my time for, as far as supporting wars, supporting, you know, just a countless number of things. And just all of this is just, it's holding me back now from wanting to continue to work. And I'm kind of caught in this dilemma, and I don't know where to go.
Well, you know, I would reverse it. You know, I would build your own little castle for yourself. You know, Taylor was not a poor person. You know, he built his wealth on mortgages, and, you know, he was a mechanical engineer by trade. You know, I would use those techniques to just, you know, make things comfortable for the people you care about. I mean, we all know that there are crooks out there, and and they'll do whatever they have to do to get our money and everything else. But I would do this for yourself.
And that's what I'm trying to do. Lately, I've been writing. I've been trying to write about, I'm currently unemployed. I was working at a restaurant. It shut down.
What's your passion? What do you want to do? What do you love to do?
Man, I'm still trying to figure it out. I do a lot of creative works. You know, right now I'm trying to write about self-progression. And I don't know. I've been working as a cook for so long. I don't really have a passion to be a cook, but at the same time, it's just like, I don't know if you're familiar with the food and bev industry, but it's just kind of like, if you get into it, it's really hard to get out because you just do it for so long and so long that it's just, that's what you know how to do.
Yeah. I've got a lot of friends who are in that business. They love it. They won't leave.
Right. And you know, it has its perks and stuff, but, here it's a lot of late night stuff, you know, and also, just people, I don't know, substances, as far as my age, you know, and people that work in restaurants, it seems like substances circulate a lot through it.
Well, this is what I recommend you do, Lucas. First of all, if you like writing, start writing. Start writing some things and just, you know, start getting them out to people. Maybe hit some of these local radio stations out there. Maybe you can become an expert at these kinds of topics. And if, you know, you're a good cook, go for it. I mean, look what happened to Wolfgang Puck and people like that. Let me take Tom's text. His phone's going crazy. What do you got for us, Tom?
Sure do, George. I have from Carrie in Washington State. Says, hey, George, I don't make a lot of money, but I do pay taxes. Can you please explain the fiscal cliff thing to those of us who don't get it?
Well, it has to do with tightening of some things that need to be done. It has to do with working out the tax packages and what we're going to do with that, who's going to be taxed, who isn't, where the increases are going to be. And unless they work something out, they've got some triggers that they put in. And by law, things are going to happen, and it could be a mess.
Yeah, but these things, don't they usually take it all the way to the end and then...
And then they fix it?
Fix it,
sure,
yeah.
They always have so far.
Let's hope they do
if
this
not,
time.
If not, vote them out. Vote them out. Taxes. You got to pay taxes. My accountant many years ago said, George, you're going to have to pay taxes. You should be happy because you're making money. Oscar, my dear friend. Denver, Colorado. Peter's with us. We're going to be out there this weekend, Peter, taping TV shows. How are you?
Oh, yes, I've heard. It sounds excellent. I can't wait. And, George, I just want to tell you how much your program means to me, the topics you discuss, and just open my eyes, allow me to have an opinion on many different aspects. I just want to thank you for that.
You are welcome. When you talk to people about the show or about the topics, what do they think? What do they think of, the subject matter?
Just the cutting edge, just the different, I think opening your mind from the normal everyday media that we're just hammered with on a daily basis. And, you know, just to have different topics of other things.
Yep. I lost you right at the end. You're absolutely right. It gives you that different perspective on just about everything, on life in general. I mean, this show has opened up my mind. Believe me, you know, I came in, sure, I had for years, I did interviews on UFOs and ghosts and all those. But in terms of government conspiracies and things, other than JFK, I didn't think all the others existed. Well, that changed for me. My eyes opened up big time. Sergio is in La Puente, California, on the wildcard line. Sergio, thanks for calling.
Thanks, Jerry. Thanks for taking my call.
Uh-huh.
You know, in the same line with what the gentleman was saying, I'm a Coast to Coast insider as well. I actually watch your videos, and as I'm going into work, and it actually sparks a lot of conversations.
Oh, great.
And this morning, I was listening to the radio, KFI, I listen to it all the time, and I heard something that really, really intrigued me, and they were talking about the earthquake that happened in Japan.
Okay.
They also had mentioned that they were given a 6-minute warning. And when I got to work, I was mentioning it to some people immediately. And this one individual, he said, yeah. He said, funny you mentioned that. I just heard that they were going to prosecute some scientists in Italy.
That's right.
Yeah, for not being able to predict earthquakes. And I'm thinking a 6-minute warning, like, why don't we have that here? Why isn't it? And me and about 5 other people got into this very deep conversation about it. And a lot of good points, like, you know, would chaos happen if we had 6 minutes? You know, everybody running out of buildings. But I was just still thinking, isn't this much known to everybody? It should be more public. It should be more, I think that was fascinating. And it's by the usage of monitoring animals.
Well, it's animals, and in Japan specifically, their seismographs were scattered all across the country. It gave them advance warning. I mean, it was brilliant on what they did.
Yeah.
A 6-minute warning before a quake hits, if you see it, that gives you enough time to do what you need to do and to, you know, get the higher ground, for example, or to get out of Dodge.
Absolutely. And, you know, ironically, too, today I missed the beginning of the show, and I wish I would have caught it because I caught the tail end of your last guest, and he did sound amazing. Like, the usage of his words, then the caller was praising him. But the reason I missed it was because one of my friends from work took me. We had a drink right next door, and this is now the second person in 1 year that, because I just talked about how much I watch or listen to your show and how my eyes have been open about a lot of things, he told me of an experience where he saw a UFO in New Mexico, Arizona border, as well as another co-worker from
See?
Another company.
It draws this out of people, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know, George, your show seriously has opened my eyes. It, not only that, it's made me a lot more intuitive. I hear things and I look more into the depth of them. And I can't wait for your show. I can't wait. Well, I'm already subscribed already. If I could, I would do it right now.
It's going to be a fun program. I'm looking forward to it.
I can't wait. This is probably going to inspire a lot of thoughts.
All right. Thanks, Sergio. Speaking of shows, I am taping on Tuesday year number 5, by the way, Ancient Aliens. So they're going into year number 5, and we're going to be doing that. And that's just a great conceptual show. It really is. And we've had a lot of fun over the past 4 years doing that. So we're going to do year number 5. Don't forget also our special Mayan calendar end of the world show on December 21st, 2012, of which I'm predicting no end of the world. So don't panic. Don't do anything foolish. Don't jump off a building. I think we're going to be around Saturday and Sunday, and for many, many times and days to come, and months and years as well. Gloria is in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, east of the Rockies. Hey, Gloria, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. That gentleman that was talking about the World War II, Mr. Dietrich, he was telling only one side of the story. Do you remember Billy Mitchell was court-martialed way back in the 1920s because he was warning the government that the Japanese were going to bomb Hawaiian Islands? They were very strong militarily. They had about the second or third largest navy in the world.
That's true. Well, I mean, matter of fact, Jimmy Stewart played Billy Mitchell in a movie, didn't he?
Okay. I think it was Gary Cooper. But anyway.
you might be right.
Okay. But anyway, they invaded Manchuria in 1931. They took the whole Manchuria. And China went to the League of Nations, but the League of Nations didn't do anything for China. In 1937 came the Blitz. They bombed Canton, Shanghai, Peking, British Hong Kong. Chiang Kai-shek's capital was Nanking, but he moved it back to, he had to evacuate, and he went to Chongqing, China, was his wartime capital. He was our friend, our best friend, World War II. The nationalists. President Roosevelt never supported the communists. He attended the Cairo Convention with General Chiang Kai-shek, and Madame Chiang Kai-shek was the interpreter. And then after that, by 1938, they had about 800,000 Japanese troops on China's soil, and they did terrible things. They had Korea, they had Taiwan, they had Manchuria, and they had half of China. Then when they bombed Pearl Harbor, they bombed the Philippine Islands also at the same time, simultaneously. They bombed British Hong Kong. Where was British intelligence? They bombed Malaysia, and they bombed Singapore and other places, too. And he's trying to put race into this thing. The Japanese put about 2 million civilians in prison camps everywhere they went. And they put brown-skinned people, they put the white people that were living there in prison camps, and they put a lot of Asians in prison camps. They were also on the island of New Guinea for 4 years. You should ask him what they were doing
on
the island.
Well, but I think what he was pointing out, though, about the internment camps here is that we shouldn't have been doing that either.
Well, that's true. No, that is true. But that most of them were from California, weren't they?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I shudder to think what would happen if, God forbid, a Japanese bomb ever hit Los Angeles or San Francisco. There would have been bedlam. And there was also a large Chinese community in San Francisco.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Gloria, we're right at the top of the hour here, but you're also right. The court-martial of Billy Mitchell was played by Gary Cooper, and that was a movie that came out in 1955. That was a long time ago. Well, we've clipped off this hour, but we've got another hour to go of open lines for you here on Coast to Coast AM. And don't be shy. Make the phone call. We're also opening up what we call the intervention hotline. Whether it was angelic or something else, intervene in your life to do something miraculous. Check in with us. We'll be back in a moment. I'm George Norrie, and you are listening, of course, to Coast to Coast AM.